Live from the heartland and the crossroads of America, it's Tony Katz today.
And you thought paying your taxes was going to be the most annoying thing that happened to you today. Oh, no. No. These groups blocking traffic. They say they're going to do it all over the country. So far, it's just O'Hare. Tony Katz today. Oh, nope. Take that back. Hello, San Francisco. Hello, Philadelphia. Oh, good Lord. They call themselves pro-Palestinian protesters. Their official name is lowlifejewhatingbastards.net. I'm pretty sure it's a .net. They've decided to engage an economic blockade of cities. They're going to put it to businesses that work with Israel to get Israel to stop, I guess, being bombed by Iran. Oh, no, wait, that's Israel's fault, too. Got it. Oh, these people, they never stop, they never rest, they never quit. And they think that you should be forced to deal with their madness. This is the story. It is not Israel. The story is those people who have been conditioned to believe that somehow because they have feelings that they are allowed to impact your life. These are people who do not believe in free speech because, after all, we should take a look at business as speech. We should take a look at travel as speech. Let's say I am driving from my home to, pick a historical spot. Pick any place. Certainly within that is the idea of my own personal preferences, wants, desires, and my way of expressing myself. Maybe it's not a historical spot. Maybe you're going to a theme park. Maybe you're going out to lunch. This is an expression of self. Travel is an expression of self. I don't know if people think of that. I don't know if they've ever taken a step and asked themselves what it means. The ability to move is the ability to not only be free, but to act upon it. And citizens of the United States are free to move about the country as they see fit. We have laws that state that you do not have to present your papers. Police cannot just stop you willy-nilly. They have to have cause. They have to have a reason. They have to be able to enunciate, articulate reasonable suspicion for a crime or something else that may have taken place. They can't just stop you and say, show me your ID or you're going to jail. But these people believe that they can stop you no matter who you are because of their feelings. So let's go around the horn. They've shut down the Golden Gate Bridge and I-880 in Oakland. Protesters blocked all lanes. That's one. Here is Philadelphia. They blocked traffic in the city center. They're waving flags. They blanketed the roads with themselves and with papers. They're disrupting traffic. And of course, as I said, it's tax day. People are going to pay their taxes. Maybe that will be delayed for some people. Now, is Tampa now on the list? Tampa Bay, Florida, where I used to live. They are now blocking traffic. We were told that my beloved Indianapolis would get blockages. Do me a favor there, producer Jason. Check Tulsa, Oklahoma, where we are heard on KRMG. Check them as well. They never asked who you are. They didn't ask what you believe or don't believe. They never asked what you're doing. They never worried about whether or not you're busy. They never worried about whether or not it was life and death. They didn't worry about anything. They don't care about you. They don't care about your children. They don't care about anything except their feelings. And they believe their feelings should be able to decide for you how you travel. The protests at O'Hare Airport, this Chicago, is so great. People are getting out of their cars and walking with their luggage to the airport. And the question, of course, is why would the police allow this? As you know, I do a morning show as well. I do morning radio. And as I reminded the city officials, you have snowplows. And what are they going to do? Just sit all spring and summer and fall? You're going to wait for more snow? Every now and then, you got to get them out. You got to use them. Otherwise, things go bad. You got to make sure everything works. I thought today was a great day to make sure all the snow plows are working. The people who are chock full of emotion and lack all decency never asked you if you agree or disagree. All they could see was their own wants and desires, their own selfishness, their own hatreds, their own bigotries, and therefore they could stop you from traveling. My question is, why do you take that? Maybe I should ask it as we. Maybe I should ask it as us. Maybe I should ask it of elected officials. Because you say to me, well, what am I supposed to do? Run them over? In the state of Louisiana, the House passed legislation that if you feel that you are threatened, you can actually drive through the crowd. You will not be charged. But I would agree with you that you might not feel threatened by people blocking the road. Does this give them the right to do so? They are violating your rights. Of this, there can be no doubt. They're violating your ability to engage freely, to move about freely. They are acting like slave owners. The only thing that they are missing are whips and chains. No, I'm not allowed to say things like that. Funny. I'm going to keep saying things like that because you know it's true. The problem is not enough people speak like this and really get to the heart of the matter. These people believe that they can violate the social contract. Why is it that people accept this? It's because to act would be a violation of the social contract. You can't just push these people, harm these people, drive through these people. Oh no, they might get hurt. And because you are decent, they get away with anything. In that traffic will be an ambulance, and in that ambulance will be a man or a woman, a husband or a wife, a sister or a brother, an aunt or an uncle, a grandparent, a child. And they will die in that ambulance. Because these emotional freaks, these absolute losers, and remember, going back to what they're protesting for Hamas to be victorious. Of course, we saw the Iranian attack on Israel. Did you see all the places where they were cheering the attack? All the places where they learned the attack took place and they said, yippee.
Everyone, I would like to make a quick announcement. We interrupt the protest to bring you this announcement. The Islamic Republic of Iran has just sent tens of drones towards Israel.
The Islamic Republic sends drones towards Israel, and these people who are protesting cheered. Tell me more about how it's Palestinian lies. These people are lying, worthless frauds, and you know it. We know it. They know it. The only people who don't know it are college administrators and MSNBC. The only people who don't yet know it. Oh, no, wait. They know it, but they're down with it. These are their people. They do not. They do not look for peace. They look for destruction. And in these protests, this is about destroying the fabric of America, because everybody knows that Israel is only step one. Israel is step one in this greater chain. America, of course, is the next step. And America gets defeated by allowing by allowing the social contract to be violated. Because if the social contract can be violated and there's nothing you can do about these things, well, then how does anything stay together? How does anything hold? How does culture hold? Yeah, this isn't just a blockade. This is a question to you, to us, to we. What is it as a society we accept and don't? If these people were on a street corner protesting, I would just think they're wrong. Wouldn't stop them. Wouldn't get in their way. Wouldn't bother them. I'd look over there, see what they're protesting about, and I'd say, what a bunch of schmucks. And then I'd go have lunch. But if they're preventing me from getting to lunch, well, that's something different because that's no longer a protest. That is a violent act. And I put forth to you that anybody who wants to talk about January 6th and not bring these people up in the same breath, they are not honest. Oh, because it happened at the Capitol? Because it happened at the Capitol, it's more important than what's happening to you as you drive to work or you drive somewhere else or you take your child somewhere like a doctor or that ambulance? Because it didn't happen at the Capitol, the ambulance holding your mother, your father, your sister, your brother, your aunt, your uncle, your child. Not a big deal? Are we the only people who ever, like, take a look at a subject and rationally say, you understand that's crazy, right? How is it possible that so often we can see something and just say, that's messed up? We know it is. Well, that's a problem and here's why. And just slowly, logically, rationally break it on down. How is that? Well, that's because we're rational people. But sometimes rational people then say, my God, they're blocking traffic. Man, why don't the police do something? Well, if you talk about Chicago, you got Brandon Johnson over there in Chicago now, the mayor there. This is a communist. This is a guy who says that when you have crowds of young people rioting in the streets, you can't call them rioters because that's demeaning. Who is the mayor of Philadelphia? Is it still Kinney? Is it still the guy? You'll remember the guy, the mayor of Philadelphia, because... Oh, no. The mayor of Philadelphia is now... Sherelle Parker is now the mayor. Before that, it was the progressive who wanted to become a sanctuary city, and when they got the status, he danced. He did a whole dance. I don't know if you ever saw it before. Oh, it's epic. It's like Ipecac for the eyes. It's just awful. By the way, Ipecac for the eyes. Can I get a little... Really? Nothing? Guys, I'm working hard here for you. A little respect would be nice. When the mayors agree because they're just as radical as the radicals engaging in ability to stop you from traveling and stop you from speaking, well, then what do you expect? Elections matter. Civics matter. Culture matters. And this is why I state that in order for these things to stop, the citizenry must act. And the way I have described it is that the citizenry must respond with force. And you say to me, Tony, are you advocating violence? And I say to you, no, because I don't believe that force is solely and exclusively a physical act. These people need to be shown what happens when they act up. So if you say to me, well, Tony, moving them is a physical act. Well, moving them is technically a physical act. But what they're doing requires movement. Are you suggesting we get into a fight? I'm never suggesting anybody get into a fight. I'm suggesting if your police department doesn't work, you start voting for other people. But I'm okay with moving them, by the way. That's a personal thing. Your mayor has to change. Your city council has to change. Your leadership has to change. They can get 50 people to stop the traffic for tens of thousands of people, and you can't get 50 people to show up at the mayor's office and say, what the hell is your problem? And when the mayor calls you a racist, you don't then turn around and say, go to hell, you lowlife. You don't fight fire with fire. I have been taught over the years, no justice, no peace. I don't want to be them. But certainly, we can agree that we cannot allow them to rule how we move. I'm keeping an eye on these quote-unquote blockades. And we'll see which mayors do something and which do nothing. And you can see where you should live and where never, ever, ever to be. I'm Tony Katz.
Let me tell you how it will be.
Do you think Donald Trump's just a one-off, and so this situation is a one-off?
I think of Melania. I think of anybody who's married. Do you want your spouse to be having, you know, hush monies and dealing in the realm of pornography and you know, this continuation of gross misogyny or worse? No, I don't.
If I hear this is a conversation of gross misogyny, wow, that's fantastic. That is stunning. Stormy Daniels got paid. I don't think that's misogyny. Hold on. I'm just talking about the use of words here. How is getting paid misogyny? Hatred or a mistrust of women? If you think that's what took place here, I don't think you understand how the world works. Tony Katz today. Of course, the trial has begun for President Trump. The hush money trial. That was some commentary from MSNBC. Who actually cares? I just thought it was hilarious. Oh, I worry about Melania. And does she really want the hush money and the misogyny? First, the hush money came from the fact that Trump likes women too much. No? What? You know, we're just being honest about the thing. Hush money gets paid all the time. Hush money gets paid all the time. Can we look at Hollywood and how many people have signed NDAs? How many people have gotten paid off to say nothing? I mean, some people signed NDAs and some people got movie deals. Hey, Ben Affleck and Matt Damon. Hi. Maybe I shouldn't call them out. Maybe they didn't. Like, I don't know if they specifically got a meet. Like, that's wrong. That's wrong. But I can't. I think I would say it differently. They clearly knew what was going on and looked the other way. So did George Clooney. Hey, George. So did all of Hollywood. Why am I singling them out? Everybody knew what was happening. They looked the other way. I'm not going to say anything. I got to get my deal with Miramax. And then Miramax got sold, and then it was the Weinstein Company or whatever. By the way, Miramax was named for his grandparents. Was grandparents or his parents? They must be very, very proud of Harvey. But this has nothing to do with misogyny. Nothing to do with the hatred of women. As a matter of fact, I think Trump liked Stormy Daniels a whole lot. And then paid her to be quiet. But he paid her from account A. And he should have paid her from account B. And to do that, you know, you misattributed the funds, and that would be a misdemeanor. And Alvin Bragg, the district attorney of Manhattan, said, you know what, if I think about this and I look at it kind of askew, it's like that line from West Wing, and I squint, well, I could turn this into a felony. And that's what he did. Do you know how hard Alvin Bragg had to work to turn this into a felony? Might be the only actual work he's ever done in his whole life. He had to work to turn this into a felony. The problem is, some people want this to be something when it's madness. Now, if you said to me Trump was doing this with this one, that one, I find the whole thing disgusting, I find the money despicable, I'm not voting for him. Well, of course, you have that right. You can even argue that that's an argument. Feel free. Although, after watching Joe Biden regarding Iran, including the idea that they knew more than they let on, well, maybe it doesn't matter as much what Trump did. But it would be an argument. Misogyny, poor Melania, hush money. You know this is all nonsense, right? Meanwhile, Iran did launch an attack on Israel. Tom Rose, former publisher of the Jerusalem Post, joins me, breaking down what happens. He lives in Israel, currently in the United States. We've got the latest. Keep it here. So Iran's attack on Israel, for some, is a statement of, well, it was just a response to what Israel did attacking an embassy, except Israel didn't attack an embassy. Israel engaged strikes in Syria, in Damascus, to kill two members of the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps who were there to engage in what could only be described as issues for Israel. Of course, when you're talking about these planning sessions that happen in Syria, it's to try and create some level of deflection. Oh no, we're here just on a, just, we're just saying hi to old friends. Meanwhile, you still have Hezbollah supported by Iran attacking from the north. You still have some elements of Hamas in Gaza, even though the IDF, the Israeli Defense Forces, have been very aggressive in dismantling Hamas there, supported by Iran. You have the Houthi rebels in Yemen who have launched missiles supported by Iran. Iran is the sponsor of terrorism. Supported by China, supported by Russia, supported by the North Koreans, it would seem, and this attack on Israel is not a proportionate response. It was an attempt to kill as many as they could. So how is it seen by Israelis? And what is their plan for a future where they don't know if the United States is with them? Tony Katz today. Good to be with you. Tom Rose joins me right now, a former publisher of the Jerusalem Post. He was a chief strategist and senior advisor to Vice President Mike Pence. And in my coming up on radio, he was a guest host on 93.1 FM WIBC while I was here. So his Midwest connection, strong. He currently lives in Israel, happens to be in the United States right now. And Tom, the response that you saw from the Iranians, first things first, while we saw that the vast majority of missiles and drones were shot down, you've been in touch with friends there. You're going back in a couple of days. How was the attack taken on the right there on the streets?
Well, I think, first of all, that was an absolutely outstanding introduction and update. You nailed it. The one thing that even the favorable media has failed to seize upon, you just did. Not that it matters, since Iran bombs embassies and violates international immunities and has for decades, but Israel did not attack the Iranian embassy in Damascus. It did not bomb the Iranian consulate in Damascus, nor did it even bomb an Iranian-owned building in Damascus. It bombed a commercial office building, two floors of which were leased to the IRGC, the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps, the world's leading terrorist army. IRGC generals and their lieutenants who were killed in the strike on this commercial office building were not diplomats. They were terrorists. That's point number one. Here's another point. You're smarter than I am. I might be better looking, but you're definitely smarter. And I wanted to run this past the great Tony Katz. The United States clearly coordinated, we now understand, through Turkey and through Switzerland for 72 hours in advance of the attack, coordinated with the Iranians to ensure that both Israel, the United States, the UK, and I think there were a couple of French frigates also involved, were perfectly positioned to intercept all of these more than 300 combined arms, cruise and ballistic missile, and weaponized drone strikes. This was the largest single combined arms, cruise and ballistic missile, together with drone attack in the history of warfare. So the only possible definition that I can come up with is that the United States actively or indirectly coordinated with the world's leading state sponsor of terror in an unprecedented attack upon Israel to ensure that it was all show, all bark, no bite. So now Joe Biden has the leverage to demand that Israel not respond to the greatest single assault ever perpetrated against the Jewish state.
Now, let's take a moment. Let's take a moment, Tom, because this reporting comes from the Jerusalem Post, which you are not associated with. Now, the Turkish source, it reads, speaking on condition of anonymity, said Turkish Foreign Minister Hakan Fidan had spoken to both the U.S. and Iranian counterparts in the past week to discuss the planned Iranian operation, adding Ankara, the capital of Turkey, had been made aware of possible developments. So this new reporting that comes out today is far different than Turkey learned about Iran's plan and shared it with the United States. That's how the story was told over the weekend. What you are discussing is that the United States knew the breadth of which Iran was going to attack and how, and did nothing to stop it, but rather said, yeah, we could probably knock all that down. It's fine.
Well, actually, I would go, and I have not renewed my QAnon membership. I'm not typically a conspiracy theorist. Not that they coordinated directly with Iran to ensure lethality, but they coordinated with Iran indirectly to ensure that they had, together with Israel and our Western allies in the region. And by the way, why are they in the region? Because the Iranian-backed proxy armies in Yemen are daily attacking U.S. and allied warships. But if you think about it, the fact that we were able to pre-position all of our resources to ensure that there thankfully was no damage to any Israeli interests or infrastructure in saving a one-year-old poor Arab girl who was seriously wounded in one of the shrapnel debris fields. The U.S. worked closely with Iran to ensure that the response could be defeated, all as leverage to guarantee that Biden could somehow compel Israel not to respond. They had already scheduled a UN Security Council meeting before the strike occurred. Again, as I've indicated, all of our assets were pre-positioned. Israel was on heightened alert for days. Iran telegraphed overtly and covertly what their intentions were. It's the equivalent of you coming up to me and kneeing me in my crotch and then demanding, hey, I'm done now. I'm done. No need to respond. I've sent my message. It's dangerous. It's dangerous for several reasons, Tony, and I know you're running out of time. Number one, it's not going to work. Israel must respond, and Israel will respond. This is an unprecedented attack. If Israel does not respond, what little is left of her deterrent capability to prevent war and protect herself will be shattered. And number two, it's a further diminishment of Joe Biden's leverage on anybody. His constant refrain to the Iranians, don't attack. They just launched the largest single combined arms cruise ballistic missile drone swarm attack in the history of warfare. That's Joe Biden's definition of deterrence, and the Israelis can't listen to him, although there is tremendous pressure back there, tremendous pressure inside the Israeli government, inside the cabinet, to measure the response. One other quick thing, if I can, Tony,
sure,
that a lot of Americans quite understandably don't appreciate or realize. I know you do. An Israeli prime minister is not an American president. He is not the commander-in-chief of the armed forces. He's first among equals among parliamentarians. The Israeli war cabinet, which now consists of Benjamin Netanyahu's number one political rival, is a consensual body of five people. All five have to agree on any act. So Bibi is not a lone actor here. And the Biden administration's attempt to use him as some kind of a Trojan horse to distinguish their antipathy toward, quote unquote, Bibi as opposed to Israel is meaningless. Because while Bibi is admittedly quite unpopular personally inside Israel, his policies are not.
talking to Tom Rose, a former publisher and CEO of the Jerusalem Post. He was the chief strategist and senior advisor to Vice President Mike Pence, lives now in Israel. The Bibi as boogeyman conversation is certainly a worthwhile one, but I'm going to avoid that for now and just get back to something that you stated. Certainly, the foreign policy of Joe Biden of don't doesn't work, because don't is a de facto policy. It is stating that if someone should do something, when the president says don't, there will be a response, there will be a reaction. But once you learn that the United States was aware of what was coming and tried to measure that scope of that, what the Iranians were going to do, the don't was all for show. The don't was just something that you say. It wasn't real. It was actually a lie to the American people, never mind the rest of the world. To not respond from the United States could be seen as the United States being a paper tiger, and China then moves on Taiwan, and Russia feels even more confident about Ukraine, and Lord only knows what North Korea does. But let's keep this in the context of Israel. You now know that don't means nothing, and that Biden was okay with letting Iran do this, and you're just lucky you happen to have Iron Dome. When I was in Israel a couple of months ago and was asked by Israelis if America had their back, I said Americans might, but Joe Biden does not. And I got looked at like I have nine heads. Is it starting to seep into the Israeli reality that this president, that this progressiveness that we see in the United States doesn't have their back, and they might very well be on their own?
Oh, absolutely. I don't think there's any question about that, Tony. You saw that. When you were in Israel, we're seeing that now. President Biden's weakness and this clear demonstration of his willingness to separate Israel from the United States no doubt encouraged Iran subsequent to 10/7, and no doubt encouraged Hamas prior to 10/7. Whether or not, you know, the 10/7 attacks wouldn't merely be tolerated. Remember that the pattern and the position is pretty clear. Israel as victim is worthy of sympathy for 24, 48 hours. Israel as a sovereign, strong, defensive power that protects itself and defends itself by itself is an Israel that the world and even, unfortunately, growing numbers of Democrats cannot abide. And that's the danger here, Tony. I think you just hit it right on the head. There are reasonable arguments to be made for Israel to think carefully about how to respond. But the notion that Israel should, quote unquote, as Joe Biden said, pocket the win. What was the win? Suffering without a response to the most aggressive ballistic missile assault in the history of warfare. Yes, the United States and Israel together with our allies, the UK, even the Jordanians, the Emiratis. I mean, that was all positive. But this has been going on, Tony, you know this better than anybody, for more than a decade. This started with Obama's dangerous, misguided diplomatic efforts to fashion a rapprochement with Iran based upon a separation of Israel and the United States as diplomatic, military, political, and economic partners. And you're absolutely right. The war for Taiwan begins in Gaza. It begins in the Red Sea. It begins in Ukraine. The world is an infinitely more dangerous place than it was just 4 short years ago.
Tom Rose well, right now in the United States, lives in Israel, a guy I know from the Midwest, from my beloved Indiana. He was the publisher, CEO of the Jerusalem Post, and served as chief strategist and senior advisor to then Vice President Mike Pence. I appreciate you taking the time to be with us. There is more to get to. I'm Tony Katz. Cheer when a university stands up to the anti-free speech crowd, when they go full University of Chicago and say, look, We have free speech. It's going to challenge you. It's going to make you uncomfortable. That's what you got to know when you come to the school. Have a nice day. That's good stuff. Tony Katz. Tony Katz today. What's going on, everybody? Find everything I got at TonyKatz.com. Would love to have you be a part of what we're doing over there. Tony Katz. That's K-A-T-Z. TonyKatz.com. Kent State University. Kyle Rittenhouse scheduled to speak. Kyle Rittenhouse was involved in the shooting there in Wisconsin, and he had a firearm on him. He was attacked. He used his firearm to save his life. And, of course, they wanted to sue him this, that, and the other and go after him, and he did not go to jail. It was an important story regarding the right to protect and defend oneself. For me, that doesn't make Kyle Rittenhouse a good dude. I have never liked watching him. I have never liked his commentaries. He's not my guy. He has always come across to me as a bit of a dolt. He's not my guy, which is okay. I still support the Second Amendment. That doesn't change. The Second Amendment is for dolts. So is the First. So is the Sixth. So is the 17th. Hold on. Do I remember what the 17th Amendment is? 17th Amendment Constitution. I mean, I said it. I said it. The 17th Amendment is the direct election of senators. No, I absolutely oppose the 17th Amendment. But it is for dolts. It is for dolts. Yeah, you've heard me talk about this. I can't believe I forgot it was the 17th Amendment. The direct election of senators, 1913. No, thank you. Terrible, terrible, terrible mistake. I support the right to the people, even if they're dolts. And I don't support those on a college campus who think that some people shouldn't be heard from. You decide to go or not go. Do you allow speakers or not? You'll allow, or I shouldn't say you, they'll allow any pro-terrorist speaker they can find, any pro-communist speaker they can get their hands on. But a Second Amendment guy is not allowed? Good on Kent State for saying, hey, you don't have to agree with them, but he got invited, and here's the university policy, and this is what we do. This is the real story here, that we allow these debates to happen, even with speech you don't like, from people you don't like. This is what makes us different. This is what makes us better. This is what allows for you to be smarter students. And if you don't like it, my God, you can always go to Berkeley. All right, they're not going to say that. But you get my point. I wish they would. So good on Kent State. Good on any university that remembers that even if somebody's adult, they have rights. And we should be allowed to hear what they have to say. This is Tony Katz today.